Well, I thought I'd bring a devotional to you tonight from the book of Proverbs, chapter 2. Proverbs chapter 2, verses 1 to 9. Why don't we bow together for prayer before we begin? Father, thank you for this time together. We pray that this little band of brothers and sisters would be built up tonight in their faith, that you would take us by the hand, spiritually speaking, and lead us more and more into the truth of what would be profitable for us to know and to think upon tonight. We pray that you will bless us with a good understanding of these things, and we would have joy in receiving these truths. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
It says in Proverbs 2, chapter 1, "My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding, yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek for her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to all who walk uprightly. He guards the paths of justice and preserves the way of his saints. Then you will understand righteousness and justice, equity, and every good path." Well, these verses are teaching us how God's wisdom is found, and what you will understand when you do find it. Wisdom, Solomon says in verse 6, is given to a person by the Lord. But what we need to understand in relation to the Lord's giving of this wisdom is that you will not find it by any other way than by diligent labor. In these verses that are before us, therefore, there are three sets of words which I think will help us understand these things. The first set of words is treasure, incline, and apply. And the second set of words is cry out, seek, and search, which apply to a person's learning to pray, verses 3 to 6. And then the third set of words is stores up, guards, and preserves, which all apply to what God does for a person who's seeking wisdom. So we need to see what we can do to find wisdom according to these verses, and then pray for God to help us to understand wisdom better. Well, first of all, the words treasure, incline, and apply, all which refer to learning of God's will and his ways. Verse 1 says, "My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding." So these words, treasure, incline, and apply, are all verbs, and they tell us what we must do in order to find that wisdom which is from above, which James says is first pure, then peaceable, then gentle, then willing to yield, full of good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. But to find this wisdom, you must, it says here, treasure God's commands within you. You must incline your ear to her, and you must apply your heart to understanding. In other words, you must see them as valuable and as precious. But who exactly is this wisdom that's being spoken of here? For both the words wisdom and understanding are being personified in these verses. Verse 4, "If you seek for her as for silver and search for her as for hidden treasures." And if you look over at chapter 1 and verses 20 to 22, it says, "Wisdom calls out outside. She raises her voice in the open squares. She cries out in the chief concourses at the opening of the gates in the city. She speaks her words. How long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity?" So we too can say that discernment and understanding are all inherently to be found in this woman wisdom. She's speaking her words. How long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? But we can understand this better if we'll remember that Solomon is addressing these words to his own son Rehoboam, or we could speak more broadly. He's talking to anyone who would be wise with the wisdom that comes from God. So Solomon's portraying wisdom in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 20. It's being pictured to us as a bold and beautiful, morally discerning woman. And he says, wisdom calls aloud outside. She raises her voice in the open square. She cries out in the chief concourses at the opening of the gates in the city. She speaks her words. Well, since that's the case, I believe that we can reasonably conclude that this woman that's being talked about here actually represents the church of our Lord Jesus Christ. She's the spouse of our Lord Jesus Christ, and we who belong to Christ, who make up his church, know that it is in him that are found all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, as it says in Colossians chapter 2, verse 3. And since we're espoused to Christ, we need to understand that when it speaks of Christ's mystical bride, such as in Song of Solomon and other places as well, that we think of this in terms of the way that we train other people up in the church to wisdom, that we train up our children, for instance, in the way that they should go. All the babes in Christ that are in our church, we teach them, and we instruct them, and we help them to understand the word of the Lord so that they will find Christ, so that they'll find wisdom that is inherently personified in him, that is in Christ. But Christ's church is this bold and holy woman who calls out to everyone everywhere, telling them of how they might find her Savior and Lord and become a part of us, that is, a part of the church, a part of the true body of believers. And wisdom is represented, I'm saying, by all of her members, all of her fathers and mothers and sons and daughters and teachers and preachers and elders and all those who counsel the naive. She calls out to them through her wise members. And so we should understand that she does this not only in the church building, but she also does this outside, as it says here in Proverbs 1, in the fields, in the streets of the world. She reasons with many people of this world in the marketplaces, and she speaks to them in the gates of the city. And she tells them, even as Solomon does, about the importance of treasuring the word of God within you and applying your heart to understanding. So I'm saying that we should be telling people that we know to come to a good Bible-believing and Bible-teaching and preaching church in order that they can hear the words of wisdom and instruction and learn how to walk in the fear of the Lord. It's really an important thing that people do that. We live in a generation now where people are not going to church at all for the most part. Many of them are not. And so it's good for us to invite them so that they might hear the word of God and be saved, and they might hear the word of God and become stronger if they're true Christian. Well, once a person is saved, then they have this understanding that is being talked about in our verses that's given to them by the Holy Spirit in the new birth. They'll receive God's words. Now listen to John chapter 5 and verse 20. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding that we may know him who is true, and we are in him who is true, in his Son Jesus Christ. So, if we think about people inclining their ear to the wisdom of the Scriptures, they can be made wise unto salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. 2 Timothy 3:15. And it's the Church of Jesus Christ, I'm saying, who is this wisdom personified as a woman, and she teaches men to observe all things which Christ has commanded. She teaches men to do all the wise things which Solomon commands in these verses and in other parts of the book of Proverbs, in order that they might grow up into Christ, that they might become wise themselves in all their behavior by receiving God's word and treasuring his commands within them. Now, how do you think that a person treasures up God's commands within them? Can you tell me? I don't know how many of you are muted, but how does a person treasure up God's commands within them?
Well, by reading them and thinking about them often.
That's right. Reading them, thinking about them often, receiving God's words by doing that. And to see them in that way as precious and powerful to your soul. You store them up. You're storing up treasure in heaven in the sense of your own soul becoming wiser and stronger in spiritual strength as a result of these things. You treasure them up like you would treasure up money. And you're treasuring up money, you have it in a certain place, and treasuring up knowledge and wisdom, you have it in your heart, you have it in your mind. You watch over it, you think about it, all this truth that you're given. You must teach these things to your children, as it says in Deuteronomy chapter 6, and talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. That's what Moses says in Deuteronomy 6, verses 6 and 7. But what our verses in Proverbs are trying to tell us is that you must do this by faith in God's Word, faith in God Himself, and not think to be able to store these things up by your own natural strength and wisdom. We're going to talk about this much more in the second point, but I'm saying you need to do this by faith in God, that this will do your soul good. This will be something that will make you strong, and that you do it every day, no matter how old a Christian that you are, that you abide in God's Word. Listen to John 15 and verses 9 to 14. It says here, as the Father loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. So I believe that what Jesus is saying is that if you'll incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding, that you will be fulfilling one of the great purposes that God has had for Christ dying for you on the cross for your sins. It's so that you're going to become mature as a Christian, so that you might learn to abide, Jesus is saying here, in his love, so that your joy as a Christian might be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. So what I believe is that a part of our going on to maturity is that we learn how to abide in Christ's love. And Jesus says this, he's saying here in these verses, so that you might have real spiritual joy. There's a real connection here between Christ's love and your being able to keep His commandments. It's when you receive the words of wisdom personified, that is the wisdom of Jesus, you treasure His commands within you, then you come to greater wisdom on how to love other Christians and how to love all other people around you. Now, that's not necessarily something that's easy for a Christian to do, even though we're commanded to do it. But that's what we learn when we think about it in terms of these verses that I'm giving to you tonight, that if we treasure His commands within us, we incline our ear to wisdom, we apply our heart to understanding, we're going to find this is taking place in our soul, in our mind, in our heart. Well, the second set of words is cry out, seek, and search, which apply to a person's learning to pray, it says in verses 3 to 6 here of chapter 2 of Proverbs. Yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, from His mouth come knowledge and understanding. So we see here that the Lord gives wisdom and understanding when we learn to pray. And I don't know if you've thought about this connection very much, but the prayer of a Christian, the prayer of the Christian, or the one who would be a Christian, is a cry really for discernment. Discernment on what the gospel is, discernment on what God's will is, discernment on what we should do in any given situation in accordance with the Word of God. And it says here that we are to lift up our voice, that we are to cry in prayer for this discernment. And we are to seek for her as for hidden treasures. And God is going to answer that person who prays to Him in this way. It's not a casual prayer. It's not a prayer that takes for granted all the blessings of God to your soul. It's a cry. It's a lifting up of the voice. It's seeking God with your heart and with your mind fervently. Now, we must understand that sometimes a person may seek and cry out in prayer to God in order to know whether He really exists. I know I did this when I first came to Christ, and the Lord revealed Himself to me in my salvation, and I didn't know many things about repentance or doctrinal truth, but I did know that God existed. And I think that the reason that the Lord allowed me to find Him at that point in my life was because I cried out to Him. But I'm saying that sometimes a person may seek and cry out to God in prayer in order to know whether He really exists, and God will not answer them. And so they conclude wrongly that there is no God, and then they become an atheist. But they should understand that the reason that they did not come to know God and find the wisdom of the Scriptures which would heal them and lead them to salvation is because a person in that condition thinks that God owes it to them to prove it to them that He exists. And He's obligated somehow to reveal Himself to them because they have cried out to Him. Well, perhaps you know someone who is like that. Perhaps they've cried out to Him for a long time, perhaps many days or weeks altogether, and yet they did not find Him. Why was this? I think it's because They thought that their being saved would come through their works or through their efforts, and that God would reveal himself to them on their own terms. But this God will not do for two reasons. First, because that person is proud in their intellect, and they will not submit to God's word or his definition of things in the Bible when they are told that it is God's word. His word, everyone should know, is not something that is going to be compromised. It's not going to be changed for anyone's reasoning it in some different way than he puts it in his written word. And then secondly, it's because they do not have saving faith. Their eyes have not been opened to the word by the Lord himself. Saving faith, we should understand, comes by believing, as it says in Hebrews 11:6, that God is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. God's wisdom in knowing him and walking with him comes in relation to seeing what he has to give to you, what he has to show to you as something which is most precious. And those are things of truth about himself and about salvation in and through Jesus Christ. The most precious of gifts, and salvation is a gift more precious than silver or gold. The fear of the Lord is a treasure, a hidden treasure, it says here, and it will only be discovered by those who will diligently seek him, looking for the great reward of finding him, believing that this is a reward to find him, not being skeptical about it and saying, well, maybe not. No, God is not uncertain in the things that he does or in the way that he does them. He's not uncertain at all. And the fear of the Lord is something that must be spiritually understood, and it's understood by God's granting it to you by grace. It's called finding the knowledge of God here in verse 5. Psalm 111 verse 10 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all those who do his commandments." Well, look at Psalm 112, verse 1 with me, if you've got a Bible open before you. Psalm 112, verse 1, it says, "Praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who delights greatly in his commandments. What will this man be like who fears the Lord? Says his descendants will be mighty on the earth, and the generation of the upright will be blessed, and wealth and riches will be in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. Unto the upright there arises light in the darkness, and he is gracious and full of compassion and righteous. A good man deals graciously and lends. He will guide his affairs with discretion. Surely he will never be shaken. The righteous will be in everlasting remembrance. He will not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He will not be afraid until he sees his desire upon his enemies." Well, this is what it means to fear the Lord. And the man will be blessed who has this godly fear. Why is it that so many are afraid during this time of the coronavirus? It's because they do not have a godly fear of God. They fear the disease more than they do God. The disease isn't leading them, in many cases, to seek God, to cry out to God, and to find him through our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the reason why their heart is not established, why they're afraid. They're afraid of evil tidings. They're shaken. But it says here that The righteous will never be shaken, but will be held in everlasting remembrance. Well, the third set of words is stores up, guards, and preserves, which all apply to what God does for the person who seeks for wisdom, verses 7 to 9. It says the Lord stores up, or he lays up sound wisdom for the upright. He's a shield to those who walk uprightly. He guards the paths of justice and preserves the way of his saints. Then you will understand righteousness and justice, equity, and every good path. So these words speak to us of what God faithfully does for those who seek wisdom from him. It says he stores up wisdom for those who walk uprightly before him. In other words, when you walk uprightly before God, you're going to find that God will give you more and more wisdom in the way that you live your life to him. That's what's being said here. God, it says here, will guard the paths of justice in relation to you by watching over you everywhere you go in relation to everything that you do. And you're going to grow to understand over time that doing what is right is the best thing for you to do. And you're going to understand that better and better as time goes on. What you should do in the many situations of your life when you are perplexed. If any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who will give generously. He won't upbraid you, but he'll give to you generously. He's going to give you wisdom. He's going to show you and teach you his paths. And he's going to show you his truth in the Bible. He'll lead you into it. And he'll give you life through the Holy Spirit, power to do what is right in relation to all the truth of his word. He is the way and the truth and the life, it says in John 14, verse 6. And he's gone before you to prepare a place for you, that where he is, you also then will be someday. Well, that's our study for tonight. I hope that y'all have profited from it.